Welcome to Every Fan for Himself. We're happy to have you here, even though you don't actually talk to us. We'd like you to talk to us. I'd like my co-hosts to talk to me.
She was gonna go.
I was seeing how long we could go.
I could go without saying a word.
Yeah, Jason, we're so synced up. You're so
starting
dope.
Now.
You're on the same cycle.
He
said starting now, and he just
you said cycle. And I really wanted to jump in on that. Just like I thought it was funny.
I just like it was really funny to me. I just thought it was really creative.
So funny and cool.
I had a transformative experience last week. I can see Eli out of the corner of my eye shake his head at me. Why are you laughing so hard, Jason?
Yeah, no, I'm
forcing a bit.
No, I'm not. Again. I just want to tell people about my life. Is that a problem?
You probably thought about this.
I literally
on the car right here.
Truly did not. Okay. I just
the way you led into it made it feel like.
No, a lot of time we do recaps of our last week.
Not really.
Okay, well, we should. People tune in for us. People like what we've got going on. Anyway.
What was your experience?
I was going to talk about my sauna experience.
Oh.
Jaren's really big on the sauna right now. He went to the sauna one time.
He goes to the sauna one time.
Can't stop yapping about the sauna. Wow.
If I don't yap, my condition
tries. Wait till he tries an ice bath.
Yeah, I did. And the same thing. I told you.
Oh, and sauna was better.
Well, I did it back to back, and it was kind of a two-pronged
It was transformative, apparently.
Dude, we got up to 180 degrees. It was like breathing magma. It was amazing. You know. And then we went and jumped in the frozen lake.
Okay.
Deeply, deeply sensual.
He was with his brothers. So. And that's not a joke.
It wasn't sensual. It was sensual in the sense that it was just a symphony for the senses.
Do you remember a few episodes ago when Jaren said he wanted to use slurs?
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
Guys. I said that I slur.
Oh, you did.
His speech.
Go back. Listen to the tape. We record this on tape, by the way. We have to convert everything from tape to digital. Yeah. It's very expensive.
Every episode costs $300. Consists of you cutting the tapes and taping them back together.
It's me trying to be snobby and being like, everything we do has to be on a massive tape deck so that the sound has just some beautiful flavor.
But that's just, it ends up you being... It ends up being you just holding a microphone to the tape speaker.
I record it but just with my iPhone, just a voice memo. Yeah, whatever. It's been a great year. I'm glad we
so far.
Yeah. No, it's actually been a terrible year, if I'm being honest. It's been rough.
But, I saw...
Dog, we are 31 days into this year.
I saw Godzilla 1 minus... Godzilla minus one.
Godzilla
minus
one minus
color.
One.
One minus one minus one again. Godzilla one minus two is Godzilla minus one.
We need to get rid of this Godzilla. So we need Godzilla minus one, if you will.
Yeah. I saw that Godzilla minus one minus color. Best movie 2024.
You're already
because it came out this year.
You're already throwing that down the line.
I get to put it on both years. Nice.
That's fair. Hey. Oppenheimer came back for an IMAX engagement, so
doesn't count.
Sure, it does.
No, it doesn't.
It wasn't
released in.
It's not a new version. Of...
Yeah, it is. It's 70mm. No, it's not. They already did that.
Yeah,
but I don't know.
I mean,
I think I
show me Oppenheimer in
black.
Switch the black and white and the color.
So the court scenes are all in color. Yeah, that's fine. Uh-huh. I'll do that. I'll do a fan version.
Mm-hmm.
It's
just an Instagram filter.
What's the competition for Minus Color right now? We're talking Argyle.
Can I say something about that film? I really want to see it because I like Matthew Vaughn.
You
a
do
lot.
Like Matthew Vaughn.
I know it looks terrible.
Like Henry Cavill's hair in it.
Oh, it's so bad.
It's so bad.
Brush cut.
It's so funny.
It's wild.
Yeah.
But it's Matthew Vaughn, and I'm.
There's no way it's good.
No, but I just. It seems like a good popcorn movie.
Yeah, it could be.
Could be.
Could be. But know, there's also like Beekeeper, which is like a popcorn movie, and yeah. apparently people think it's really fun.
Yeah, it's got some pretty decent reviews. Yeah. I'd give it a shot for sure.
Yeah, I saw
like bees. You saw Anyone But Poo.
Anyone but Poo.
And any bum but poo. Nice.
That's pretty good.
Do you, is it true that you see Glenn Powell's hog?
No, you don't see Glenn Powell's.
Do you really? See a hog?
No, you see hog though.
You see hog. Well, like a little snippet of hog.
You see hog head. Any yeah. bum but
poo. So, but it's a you know a popcorn movie. Kind of fun. You know, I'm glad that rom-coms are back, honestly, because we went like. I don't know how many years when Marvel was dominating the box office right. that like you just didn't see any other type of movie.
Right. What's the last great rom-com before this resurgence? I would say like Leap Year, which was 2011.
No, of course not.
What are you talking about?
There's surely been.
Oh, you're right. What's the one? But the thing is, Kumail Nanjiani.
The Big Sick. Sick.
Yeah,
Big
yeah. Sick. That was 2017. Sick is great. I think
that was pretty good.
That's a good rom-com.
Mm-hmm.
Do you yeah, realize how long ago that was, though?
Yeah, it's
13 years was 2011. So,
anyway, I'm happy to have rom-coms years. Back.
Yeah.
You know, regardless of the well, quality.
What's back what are
the
besides other ones?
Yeah.
No Hard Feelings? But I heard that was okay.
But that's like a, like adult, like crass comedy.
You know
like,
what?
And we didn't get those either. There's an argument to make for that because for a while in the early 2010s, we were getting like your Superbads and your Knocked Ups and all those types of movies.
Sure.
We didn't get those for years until this new Jennifer Lawrence one.
Right. Except for that Seth Rogen. Anything Seth Rogen's done has been that.
Yeah. What about like
Sausage
what about
Party,
like
Sorry?
No.
Yeah.
No,
yeah. What about like the Wedding Crashers? Or,
that was that's
like, that's longer ago.
Yeah. That's aughts, I think.
Oh, you're right. It's 2006.
Yeah. But like even
but that kid
party,
that
feel
kid
like
one.
Huh? Where the kids
Oh, Stray Dogs or something? No.
No. That's what am I not the dog of? One. No, can I tell you something?
That's the kids one though.
Yes.
Yeah, I know
where
what you're
like,
talking about.
Where they were like, we can't even show the actors the trailer. Like we're not technically
right,
allowed.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. This little 13-year-old saying the F word and pissing on each other.
Maybe.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, but I assume that's what all 13. That's
what
we were doing when I was 13.
Cinema's back, baby.
Yeah. I will say, though, that I feel like Netflix kind of held down rom-coms for a little.
Yeah, they took all of it. But like, I want
like
them in theaters.
Like them
though.
Throughout, like Always Be My Maybe.
That was like 2021, right?
22.
That's very new.
Right, but not as recent as Jay's talking about with them being back.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
And I was it 21?
I think it's fairly reasoned.
Verily reasoned. So seal.
I didn't ever say that. Let the record show that I said social. I always have.
Aha. 2019. Yeah,
yeah. Oh my gosh.
5 years ago.
Shut up. That's 5 years ago?
I hate that.
Yeah. So.
I need the Max win after that one, man. That's rough.
Yeah. So yeah, I feel like Netflix did a bit with them.
Yeah, but I think it's rough that like for how many years they were all just going straight to streaming. You know, we need these bad boys in theaters, you know? We need to go on a Friday, Saturday night.
And see some hog.
And see some hog.
And watch Wild Hogs.
You know what? Yeah.
I loved Wild Hog. No, I didn't. My dad did. And he let me watch it with him sometimes. That's the end of the anecdote.
I watched it once and was
it at a sleepover at my house?
Because
I made a lot of friends.
That's when you
watched it.
I don't remember where it was.
I feel like
but it
wasn't.
I didn't. First of all, we didn't hang out when Wild Hogs was out.
No. That it was like a perpetual thing. Like Wild Hogs came out late aughts.
I didn't sleep
was
over.
Shown that well into.
I didn't
the,
sleep over with you till
teens.
College.
That's right. You would sleep in my little twin bed.
Mm-hmm.
You and I would just be. I don't even know. You know, what? Cheek to cheek and cheek to cheek.
Yeah,
I'd get kicked out and I'd end up on the floor
because you got a little too handsy.
That's not true.
You would try to wrestle me.
That's true.
Out of the bed,
right for the
so
bed.
You got a little too handsy.
Yeah. He did.
This is
yeah.
the
implication
is
that
implication of
you,
getting too handsy is
no.
Sexual. But you, and I just wanted to wrestle,
which is vaguely sexual, in my little twin bed. But I would make you sleep on the floor because it was so consistent that I was like. This is disrupting my.
It wasn't
the
so
flow
consistent.
Of my sleep.
I never really tried to sleep in your twin.
I think a few times we did though. No, I don't think we did.
I'm sure we did at least once.
I don't think there's anything weird with that. I've absolutely slept in a twin bed with Jaren before.
Yeah. But I'm just saying he was against physical contact.
No, yeah, because Jason respected that even though we are, you know, effectively, you know, holding one another, that it's not a physical thing. Where you were like, let's embrace this. let's get this out of the way and just accept that we're going to be arm in arm, hand in hand, face to face.
I lived those memes of like falling asleep at a friend's house and like trying to find a blanket without waking people up.
And it's just like putting the like couch on top of you.
Yeah, a t-shirt, a towel. It was literally a towel once at Jaren's.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember at some sleepovers,
I remember doing that.
A towel?
Oh, like anything.
No, for me, I think the consistent go-to was going under the cushions. Like as the blanket, like the couch cushions. Yep. So it's like your back is on like the hard polyester bottom and the springs are right there. Mm. But the cushions provide you with some level of insulation.
No, I've been there.
Yeah.
I've done that.
Yeah. And it's that was some weight too. That was like, yeah, see, that's the original gravity blanket. It was just couch cushions on top of you.
Like you're finding like Cheerios and nickels.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's you wake up with just cereal stuck to your back.
Yeah.
And, it was great. Sleepovers. Eli, what are we yapping about today?
Best sleepover movies.
Sleepover. Honestly, that's a good topic. We should do that one day.
I never saw it, but isn't there a movie called Sleepover with Mary-Kate and Ashley? I feel like my wife talks about it all the time.
Probably.
Best sleepover.
They probably did a lot.
Best movies about sleepovers or best movies to watch at sleepovers?
Both.
Okay, because the answer to one of those is Holes.
You're right. That is actually really good.
Or Scooby-Doo, OG Scooby-Doo.
Well, hang on, live action Holes could be both. Cambrian Lake is kind of a big sleepover.
Yeah, it's kind of a sleepover going a little outing.
I watched Shrek a lot at sleepovers.
Because you remember the DVD menu playing so loudly at 2 a.m.
Play the movie. Play.
And you wake up in a fever dream. To that guy.
And then like I didn't
have sleepovers.
That's good.
I wasn't allowed.
I'll be honest.
That's depressing.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to
there's a lot of statistics out there.
I don't
want to
get into the whole thing of
man,
but
I did just fine.
Well, it was a different time, baby. No one cared about our survival the way we care about our kids' survival. It's a whole thing, but I'm with you, Eli.
Yeah.
My kids
won't be.
No, it's not good. It's not a good look. No.
I don't know what you guys were doing at sleepovers, bro.
No, just the statistics.
I was getting helped by
statistics?
You.
What statistics?
About like...
We're being really vague about the... Oh.
Yeah.
Well, and
you don't know who's going to be there.
It's a broad swath of statistics.
You're talking about like...
Abuse.
Like Boy Scout, like...
Yeah.
There's Catholic Church kind of stuff.
There's like, less of that that's concrete. There's more like... First time exposure to bad images stuff.
I was watching Shrek, bro.
I mean, I was exposed to bad stuff. No, man, life rules. Sleepovers rule. Oh, gosh.
No, man, life rules.
I think let's edit this bit out.
No, it's good.
No, I'm fine.
Anyway, don't let your kids have sleepovers.
Yeah.
Unless it's like...
Sleepovers rocked, man.
Rocked.
Yeah. Of course. I don't have them anymore.
We should. At this point, I don't think...
I'll bring my...
I don't think we're going to be a statistic now. I think we're good to have sleepovers.
Yeah.
When's the last time I had a sleepover with any of you guys?
It would probably be around 2019, 2018.
It's just when we were roommates.
No, dude, because... We had a sleepover. It was you, me, Mike.
Yep.
And Mike left like in the middle of the night.
Because he couldn't hack it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was at your apartment.
Yeah. Did you sleep in the bed with me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. On the purple.
Eli.
Shout out purple.
Yeah. Eli wasn't allowed.
I wasn't there.
No, I don't remember.
I was married by then.
Jaren was also married.
Jason was.
Yeah, that's why.
That's why
I was newly married. He wasn't married.
Right.
Obviously, Camille wasn't there because I was in your bed.
Yeah, she was out of town.
It wasn't just me, my wife, and Jason.
Anyway.
It's all right.
We're talking about comics.
Good segue.
That's fine. Really segue clean. To that.
Really clean.
No. Talking about first time exposure to bad images, we're going to talk about Image Comics.
There we go. That's good.
Yeah, thanks. We're talking about comics, and it's a huge, huge world. It's like trying to talk about TV or anime or things like that. Yeah. Like, we're not even going to scratch the surface.
No.
So we're going to talk more about our favorite comics and why maybe it's a medium that people should consider if they haven't. I think we're big proponents just for people trying stuff.
Yeah. Especially
because there's a lot of fun to be had.
Yeah.
With trying stuff. And like, comics definitely had a stigma about them years ago.
Right.
Like, Geeks and Losers read comics and comic collecting was just a nerd thing and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And largely thanks to superhero movies, like, comic culture has become part of the zeitgeist.
Yeah.
And so
people
still don't read them. That's the thing. I want to bridge that gap.
Yeah.
Totally.
Because they're way better. Well, a lot of them can add a lot of depth to a character that people might love.
Totally. Yeah. Well, I also introduce them
to ones they've never heard of.
I think, I don't know if we've ever done like a comic book episode or graphic novel episode. Have we really?
No.
Okay. So this
we talked about stuff.
As far as like really getting into, I guess we're not going to really get into it, but like tackling the subject head on, it deserves it because it is such a big piece of fandom. I mean, so much of the things that we love, part of the reasons we do this show is because of things that have been born from comics or just the comics themselves. But like, I don't know. I think the cool thing about comics and graphic novels is, yeah, it's, of course, it's what all the superhero movies are being based off of. But I think you'd be surprised at how many like movies and TV shows and really, really popular media stems from comics that you wouldn't even think.
Riverdale.
Scott Pilgrim.
Mm-hmm.
Akira. Like you could knit, and these are things that are like staples
Riverdale is a staple.
Well, honestly though, like you could name movies all day long that you wouldn't know.
That you wouldn't have considered.
Any Zack Snyder thing.
Totally.
Probably. Yeah.
300.
Yeah.
V for Vendetta.
Watchmen.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think the cool thing about that is, and I don't want to sound pretentious saying this, but it is cool to kind of consume the media of a comic book before it gets adapted, and like to be a fan and to be passionate about something like before it's been. Either a lot of time it's not adapted well or whatever, but it's cool to be ahead of that and to see that being put on screen. I mean, even with comic books or like, I'm sure we'll talk a lot about this, but it's cool seeing like really, really amazing comics get the detail treatment they deserve. And being passionate about that before that even enters like the broad.
Yeah.
That is a little pretentious.
It is.
Like the fact that it has to be performed is very hipster of you.
It is, but I'm
like,
just saying.
Because I think there's also like something, a different kind of rewarding about like discovering something through a movie and then finding out that it has a comic.
Yeah, that's
fair. Being able to dig in that way.
That's fair. And I guess I'm just saying that there's so much.
There is a sense of pride.
There's so much.
That's like a very hipster feeling though. Yeah. Like, I get it.
Well, you're talking to like, two of the hipsterest like dudes ever.
Yeah. But
yeah.
And but say what you there's will. Also part of you that like
you wore bow ties in high school.
There's also part of you that wants credit for liking the thing first.
Yeah.
And that's a I mean I'm not talking about that. I mean just like I don't even say that. Being ahead of the curve sounds wrong. But I guess it goes back to realizing how much, like there's a reason that all these comics are being adapted because the source material is so good and rich that it deserves your attention
and
before it turns into a movie. And it's okay if you find it after it gets turned into a movie. I'm just saying there's so much in there to be explored that I feel like doesn't get the credit it deserves.
But it's also fun to like have read something and be excited for like an adaptation of it and say, oh, I read Atomic Blonde before, you know, and then like, oh, I'm excited to see the movie.
Totally.
And see how they do, you know?
Completely.
Yeah.
That so. I'm just saying that process is very gratifying.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we don't want to be.
No, we're not gatekeeping. We're not gatekeeping it
because comics are rewarding.
Right.
Yeah. Whether or not you get you beat the curve.
I agree. I would say the majority of comics that I read are like already movies and stuff. And you go back and realize, whoa, this is way better than the movie. Or this is awesome.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
okay. There's yeah, room stuff for everyone. That's
been out for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's get into some of our favorites.
Yeah.
And they're favorites for different reasons. And we're going to talk about that too. Let's hear your first, Jay.
I am not doing mine in any particular order.
Yeah, just the first one you're going to talk
favorites,
about.
Favorites, my first one I'm going to say is Mr. Miracle.
Ooh.
It's a series that came out in 2017, written by Tom King. Mr. Miracle is so freaking good.
Is that a DC comic?
Yeah, it's a DC comic. Okay. Mr. Miracle's he's a DC superhero.
Yeah.
It's just such a cool story. It delves deep into like the character and like emotion and just like struggles, and it's just so I really can't explain it. Like, I really just need everybody to go read it. It's just so cool.
What's his superpower?
He can escape from anything is like his whole thing.
Oh, wow.
So he you know, is like an escape artist essentially. That's but awesome. Like he was born among the new gods. So like the High Father is technically like his father, but he was raised on Apocalypse by Darkseid and Granny Goodness and everything like that. Later escaped that, and I don't know. It's just a really cool story.
Interesting.
Yeah.
When did that come out? You said in the 80s?
2017 is when
it's new.
The one that I'm talking about. Well, I mean, the character's been around for a very long time.
Okay.
But this run specifically is just revolutionary for the character.
Sick.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Jerry, what's one of your favorites?
I think the I won't say number one because these are all good, even though my brain wants me to. Sandman by Neil Gaiman is probably my favorite because it's Neil Gaiman, first of all, and he's just, you know, maybe my favorite author. He's so good at characters and just really making you feel things deeply. But it's cool that it's like, it's technically in the DC universe, right? You have like John Constantine and you have the Justice League is mentioned, and
you see the Justice League at one point. Well, some of them.
Right. Yeah. But the, just like the world that he's created and the stakes that he set, and just like the intense saga that he tells, about the consequences. It starts off of like a world without dreams and a world that's not able to sleep properly and the ramifications of that. And the different characters, that, have roles to play in that. So it's like a dark horror fantasy, journey that has like the beauty and the prose of like a novel, but it has the pace of a comic. So I think that it lives in this unique space of being one of the best written comics ever.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Very well written.
Mm-hmm. Something just now occurred to me that I need to address that I don't think any of us considered when we were thinking about comics. Because like when you talk about like nerd stuff and fandom stuff with comics, like things come to mind. But I didn't even like build room for like something like Calvin and Hobbes or stuff like that.
Comic strip.
So
yeah,
I'm going to like just kind of blanket exclude those.
Yeah.
I guess just approach. I mean, it's hard to draw the line. Because like Spider-Man was in newspapers, but we are going to leave out those things. But honorable mention to Calvin and Hobbes and Farside, because those would like could be contenders for top three, like compared to
my man G. Sure. Garfield.
Yeah. Do you actually like the Garfield comics?
Yeah, they're like legitimately good.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
My dad likes Dilbert.
Yeah.
I like Dilbert. Foxtrot, I really liked. Had a few of those too.
Hagar, horrible.
Really?
It's really funny.
Oh, I don't. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Tintin?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, let's just set those aside. Sorry. So that, geez, it's a different.
You're just hacking into the mic.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to not.
Yeah, that's different. So I'm glad we caught it early and just
we'll tip our hat to them and move along.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Calvin Hobbes is number one for me though, I think.
Really?
In that world.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
Farside, it's tough.
Yeah, it's between.
I think Farside's funnier, but Calvin Hobbes is like there's a little more heart.
Yeah.
I'm more of a Kathy guy.
No, you're not.
No, I'm not. I just want to mention Kathy.
Yeah. All right. The first
what's your first?
That I'm going to mention, because I didn't grow up like reading comics. It's really funny. I was considering my brother and I one day, we were like, how do we know so much about superheroes? Because it was before like the superhero movie the trend craze, and it was before these things were happening. And we were literally like, wait, like where did we get this information? Like we know specific things. And I think like a large part of it was from the Marvel Ultimate Alliance games.
The video games.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just like the games. I mean, because you actually played through some comic storylines in the games, but there's also like part of the game that's trivia. Like you can go to a little kiosk or whatever and like just do comic trivia.
That's cool.
And we learned a lot through that.
Interesting.
That's fun.
So that sparked
it. So I didn't like have... You know, I wasn't really tackling comics like that until I was older. And so one of those that I found that it wasn't recommended to me or anything like that. And so I kind of just found it on my own and really liked it because it was at some guy's house that I picked and I picked it up. And it's a Ghost Rider comic. And Ghost Rider is one of my favorite, one of my favorite heroes. And one that I've really wanted to get into. Like if I were to start collecting comics, I think I would try and do Ghost Rider comics.
That's really neat.
And the one I read was, it's called Trail of Tears and it's not
about Native Americans.
Well, first of all, it's not, which is a little weird.
Yeah.
But also it's not about like Johnny Blaze, or any of like the more popular standard ones. It's about a guy named Caleb. And this is like post-American Civil War.
Oh, I love when they do this.
Oh, cool.
And
interesting.
And Caleb is like a freed slave. And he...
The Sam Rockwell one. Is that, who plays him in the movie? Like the old cowboy?
Oh, Sam Elliott, you mean.
Sam Elliott. Yeah, yeah,
Sam Rockwell is Ghost Rider.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Elliott.
No, yeah, Sam Elliott. He is a different one, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the cowboy Ghost Rider. But Caleb is a freed slave. And he has a family and like he takes in a wounded Confederate soldier and helps him. His name's Travis. And like Travis discovers like in a cave in the area that Caleb lives, like all these like a mound of skulls. And he asks Caleb about it. And he's like, they were skulls we brought over like from Africa. And they'd like contain like a spirit of vengeance that can help, you know.
That's cool. Spirit of vengeance, baby.
Yeah. And so it happens, things develop and Caleb's family is murdered and Travis thinks Caleb is murdered too by this gang. And so Travis starts hunting down the gang without realizing that like they're all being followed by a rider. And then it's like a really cool kind of pursuit, scary take on it where they're like, it's just coming after him. And it turns out that it's Caleb as like the Ghost Rider.
That's dope.
And that he, as he was dying, like gave his soul to those spirits of vengeance. And they are working with him now to take out this gang.
Does he ride a horse?
Uh-huh.
Fiery horse.
Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's really cool. And I mean, I had never heard of Caleb the Ghost Rider or anything like that. And I just, it was so cool and just a cool singular thing that I read. and really was part of the, like a big part of why I like Ghost Rider so much.
So, that's dope.
Yeah.
Jason, do you feel like you've been a, like a comic guy since you were like a young boy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like we used to go just as a child, my mom would take us to like the library and I would go like read Batman comics.
Oh, you would? Cool. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I'm more like you, like I didn't come to it until I was in ninth grade, just getting into high school. And, yeah, it was my friend Tanner, cause he was a huge comic book collector. And that's, yeah. And it was like kind of right on the cusp of the superhero craze happening. But, and I guess that's why I talk about that experience, the experience of like knowing what the movie came from and like, you know, reading stuff and being like, whoa, I can't believe they're adapting this storyline that I love. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was late to the game, but there's a beauty in that because as a kid, you don't always absorb everything you're reading, but like as a teenager, I would just like go through so many comics. We used to go, Jason and I used to go to Barnes and Noble. We would just sit on the floor in the comic section for like 3 hours and just read everything.
Yeah.
And that's where a ton of my comic reading has been.
Just on the floor or in the cafe. But yeah.
Or just standing.
Right.
Like at the shelf. I like pick it up to start browsing and then I just
keep I've been here for an hour.
Plow through it real quick. Yeah.
I read like most of volume 2 of Saga just standing.
Standing there?
In Barnes and Noble. Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's great. No, that's great.
I was just curious kind of what everyone's journey toward comics was, but yeah.
Similar.
One,
I mean, it wasn't until I was like actually had money of my own that I was buying them.
And doing research into like which storylines you wanted to explore.
Yeah, collecting. But as a child, I would just mostly read them at like the library.
That's so awesome.
Or just browse, you know, the internet for information. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like what information the internet had back then. You know, we're talking about like late 90s, early 2000s. There wasn't a lot. Yeah. So
right. That was, I mean, that's where a lot of, you talked about like Marvel Alliance. That's where so much of my comic book knowledge came from, would just be on Marvel.com. Mm. And it would just, because it was like Wikipedia was good, but a lot of it was all over the place and some were short and some were long, but going on Marvel.com and like jumping from back character to back character to back character, I'm like, man, I really hope they adapt this. Yeah. This would be awesome. This would be cool. That's kind of where my knowledge started with superhero stuff. Mm.
There was this old, website that I go to all the time. I wouldn't ever know what it was called, and it doesn't exist anymore. But it basically had like a list of all of the Spider-Man villains, and like,
oh, cool.
It would give you like a history of them and play like sound clips. And this, you know, these are from like the old like TV shows, and Mark Hamill did like most of the voices.
I love that.
So it was really cool. But I learned a lot from that.
Yeah, that's sweet.
So
also that like other video games too. Like some of the Arkham games, like as you're picking up little collectibles or things like that, like you get like tidbits about characters, and like a lot of them refer to comics, or like a lot of them will say like first appearance in this. You know,
well, so like, cool. It's cool.
Depending
on
the video game, like a lot of them have
like
a super rich fact base.
Well, I think it's cool that extras. A lot of the, a lot of superhero games, even bad superhero games, because you know, there's only so much you can do with in a Spider-Man game with Green Goblin and Venom or whatever. Like I liked that in Batman games and Spider-Man games, you had room to have the sort of one-off smaller villains be like a little side mission you could do that you could like learn about. I mean, like Professor Pig in Batman or whatever. Right. Like I like that there's room for that there.
Yeah,
which is cool.
Yeah. Jaren, what's your second that you'll share?
Okay. You mentioned it, but it is so incredible. Saga, it's by Image Comics. It's not really a superhero thing. It's like a sci-fi action romance. It's called Saga because it really is spanning such a long period of time about this kind of star-crossed lovers and their child in the middle of the space war. So it has like really
between their
very,
two races,
yeah,
between
very the two races,
Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah,
yeah. And it like I remember that it was the first time that I remember really caring about the art and really being invested in like the art of a comic and thinking, wow, these characters are so unique. With like a cat that says lying if it's around someone who's lying, or like I just remember it being so grounded for being something so fantastical and being crazy and like weird characters, but being so relatable in the midst of this massive sci-fi epic. And it really came down to, I mean, like all things, just like the characters and their individual dramas, usually just about like love stories or, you know, trying to survive. It's just really, really vivid. And it's a huge, huge story. They're still coming out with volumes. But Brian K. Vaughan, I think he's the author. Mm-hmm. He's one of the most amazing comic writers out there. He just, I don't know, he gets it. And the fact that it's just all original from him, it's like he created such a cool world. And I remember also feeling like when you start to get in the world of like being a creator or writing or being an artist and you know, growing up with my friend Tanner, who was an artist, you realize how much work goes into every single frame and how much work it takes to like plot things out. And just like the amount of detail and work in comic books, but specifically in Saga, just blew my mind.
Yeah.
You know, that mm-hmm. there was no shortcuts there. It's like you have to show the frame and all the text has to work in sequence in the right way. And I think it was the first comic book that made me really like appreciate
the craft.
Yeah, exactly. The craft mm-hmm. of what a comic book was.
Yeah.
And it not being Marvel and DC also right. blew me away. 'Cause there's nothing to you know, glean from a pre-existing thing. It's mm-hmm. not Spider-Man. It's not Batman. It's, right. it's its own thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, that the artistry of that totally was like a singular moment of like, this is special.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I would say my second is, and this is like very much just my taste going into it. It's like not that it's like a particularly rich or popular run, but it's the Genndy Tartakovsky Cage
Luke Cage
comics.
Oh yeah, cool.
Yeah, yeah. Because cool. I love Tartakovsky and I like wanted to consume whatever he made and whatever he did.
Tartakovsky is, for those who don't know, he did Samurai Jack, Dexter's Primal. Laboratory,
Primal Powerpuff Girls.
Powerpuff Girls. So he's
Hotel Transylvania.
He's absolutely like staple of our childhood.
Yeah. Oh, and sorry, Clone Wars.
Oh, duh.
The best.
The OG. The miniseries.
The miniseries,
Clone Wars.
Not the
new one.
Not
that
the
I
TV show.
Yeah.
My favorite Star Wars media.
I think I would maybe say the same thing.
Yeah.
It's so perfect.
There's a scene in that when. Who is it?
Mace Windu.
Mace Windu. Mace Windu's using like force like
punches
yeah, that are so sick.
Force hand-to-hand combat.
Because he loses his lightsaber for a little.
That may be the best sequence of the whole series is him lost in the middle of the desert.
He disassembles a super battle droid with the force too. Like all of its pieces like
fall apart and then uses that as
bullets. The fact that you haven't seen force martial arts since then is insane.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the fact that like that, the crazy thing was that was canon.
Right.
Yeah. Like that was literally the bridge into like Clone Wars ended where episode 3 began. Like we see the Chancellor get kidnapped.
Yeah.
We see why Grievous coughs.
Yeah.
Like we see Anakin get his scar. Like all of these things happen in that. Sorry, I was just going off on this. It's like so stinking good. And really why I love Tartakovsky. And so when I saw that he was doing a comic, I was like, oh, well, I got to get it and I got to do it. And so like, it is so fun and just his style and the art is so sick. And it's like so fun to see how it's similar to Samurai Jack and Clone Wars and all the stuff he's done.
Yeah.
And just his artistry in that, his whole thumbprint on it is so fun.
The cool thing about that is it's not set in modern day, right? Isn't it set in like the 70s? Or maybe it's just the style is of the 70s.
But I don't remember. I don't remember, funny enough.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Either way, like the fact that he leans on like kind of this more retro style of Luke Cage is so cool. When he could have just made Luke Cage modern, it still would have been great. But the fact that he's like, let's really make this stylish and like, let's make this.
Yeah, we'll just call it distinct. Cage.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
So neat.
Yeah.
It's a great, great comic.
Yeah. Jay, what's your second?
So my second, I want to quickly say, I'm changing up my list a little bit because I was going to mention Sandman. But
I thought you would.
Because Sandman's one of my favorites of all time, if not, you know, yeah, one of the greatest comic books ever made.
Yeah.
So I'm going to skip over that one. I'm going to say The Crow by James O'Barr.
Oh, yeah.
The Crow is, it's beautiful, it's poetic, it's tragic, it is like depressing and like beautiful. It's so good.
See, that's
it's
another so one you don't good. Realize was a comic before it was a film.
Yeah.
You know?
It truly is just like an author just like pouring his heart and soul onto paper and like putting all of his life and like vulnerability onto the page, and it's really great.
Cool.
It's really great.
That's fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Crow, I still haven't seen the movie.
Movie's great. I love the movie. It's kind of a comfort movie, but
yeah,
it's very 90s. Mm-hmm. You know, it's got like shredding guitar at weird moments and whatnot. It's fun.
That's great. Okay, I'll go with my third.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to prequel it, so it's just the Avatar comics.
Oh, nice.
Avatar The Last Airbender is like super dear to me. It's one of my biggest fandoms, and finding out that there was like established canon confirmed by the creators following the series and just what happens and getting the answer to what happened to Zuko's mom and things like that. Like, it's all in the comics, and like, it has the exact same feel,
humor
as the show. And like, it's crazy how well it translates.
Yeah.
And the plot is rich. We get to see the characters develop. We get to see so much more of them and their abilities and them maturing, and Zuko struggling as a new Fire Lord, and, you know, Aang's transition post-war into still doing Avatar duties and things like that, and just what happens with the rest of them. And it's so, so fun and so good. And I don't know, just really like... Yeah. As a fan of the show, it's like another whole other season.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say, is like, for how big and popular the show is, and for people who aren't even like necessarily super nerdy, I feel like so many people love that show and adore it. And to have a comic continuation that is the same thing and wraps up so many questions that were still left behind.
Gaps, answers questions.
Like,
yeah.
I'm shocked that more people aren't like diving into that. Like, I know why, because people, comics are what a barrier for some people, but like, it shouldn't be, because it is that well made.
Yeah.
It should be like, okay, finish the show. Time to pick up where we left off. Cause it's so one-to-one perfect.
Yeah. And the first one starts where the show left off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it just goes from there, and it's really cool to see the decisions they make and some interesting developments with Azula, and man, it's just I really, really like them, and it's the comics I've read the most, like as far as like a series goes, and as far as like what I own, like I have all of The Last Airbender comics, and I've read all of them. There's a handful, but I realized, like, coming into this, I was like, oh, like,
have to mention
this is actually the one I invested the most in and gotten the most out of consistently. So that's my,
that's a good answer.
Yeah, that's my me. That's my three. Jer?
Yes. I feel like I may be stepping on Jason's toes a little bit.
Maybe.
But I have to mention it. And when you kind of,
I feel like there's, like, there's the one Jason's going to say for three, and if you do say it, you're kind of nuts for saying it. Really?
You're not gonna say my.
Okay. Then for me, I'm like, you can't mention comic books. You can't mention this media without mentioning Batman. Mm-hmm. And you can, like, the kind of stipulations you sent was like, okay, let's mention a character as a whole, whatever. I don't think, I mean, this is just my opinion, but I don't think that there's a better, I can't think of a character who has better storylines than Batman. Some people could argue Spider-Man. Some people, I don't know, could argue like Captain America or whatever. But I
don't think people would mention either of those if I'm being honest. But
really,
yeah.
I think people Spider-Man. Because there's so much of Spider-Man.
They definitely wouldn't mention Captain America, but you might mention Spider-Man.
As far as single character, but sure. I feel like X-Men also, as far as
story. X-Men has awesome stuff. But even with all
X-Men
that,
X-Men has among. Like, X-Men is actually the best comparison because it has some of, like, the most iconic storylines.
And there's so much of it.
And Batman has some of the most iconic storylines.
Even with that in mind, even with, like, someone like something like Spider-Man and something like X-Men where it has so much and it's so well-developed, I think Batman is just feels untouchable. I just feel like it's the best superhero stories that you could possibly tell live in Batman. The ones I want to just quickly mention are... Arkham Asylum as a standalone piece. It's like the art of it. It's Dave McKean.
Yeah.
And my gosh, he does just mixed media stuff. It's like a
splash of watercolor. It is. And like, it's
or like
it's
a
so
fabric
cool.
that's like photographed into the art in the frame of the comic. But it's a horror story about Arkham Asylum being taken over and Batman kind of journeying through all the villains that he's put there and how they've sort of mentally deteriorated and the guilt he feels. So it's not like this intense action propelled thing. There's definitely action there, but it's more of this psychological horror exploration of Batman. Mm. And it's incredible. Mm-hmm. The other one is Year One. It's like the OG Batman comic. Like if you're going to start,
it's not the OG.
Sorry, what I mean is like if I were going to tell someone where to start, I'd tell them to start with Year One. For me, it's like the OG Batman place to begin, because it's the story of how he becomes Batman, and you know Jim Gordon is a huge part of that. Mm-hmm. It's Frank Miller, so you know it's good.
It's really grounded and like it's early so grounded. On, like you don't introduce any of the rogues or anything like that.
Right,
it's his first year as Batman.
Yeah, and I mean it's what was the main inspiration for Batman Begins, the Christopher Nolan film. And it's classic Batman. But for me, my favorite Batman, story is Court of Owls by Scott Snyder, Greg Capullo. It introduces like a new villain and a new threat that feels so real and so cool, and legitimate while not being cheap or rip off of anything, but still like really getting to the heart of what Batman is and what he does. It just some of the most amazing action sequences, a really cool mixture of what Batman is supposed to be, which is a detective, and this tortured individual on top of being this master of
everything.
So Court of Owls is so cool. And it is rumored to be what the new Batman movie is going to be about. The next Batman movie with Robert Pattinson.
Which, like, the new Batman.
The new The Batman. The Batman 2.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. If you want to jump ahead of it, that may be the place to go. But I highly, highly recommend Court of Owls. But anything. I mean, there's so many things I could have mentioned for Batman. There's so many amazing things.
Yeah, you said Year One. I mean, you could have said Dark Knight Returns.
Could have said Hush.
Or Killing Joke. There's... Again, truly like the most iconic
White Knight
comics
like,
are Batman.
You could have said you can go so you like I can't recommend
a lot of his stuff in
enough.
New 52.
Oh, incredible.
Yeah.
Batman and Robin in New 52 is amazing.
Right.
Yeah. Batman is the best comic superhero or superhero
he
in
gets
the comics.
Treated so incredibly
he has
well.
The coolest stories.
And, like as best. Far as writing goes, he gets treated very well.
Yeah, and I'll shout out Batman just as far as like comics I read.
Yeah.
That was like in high school, I read a lot of that because my brother bought Batman comics and started to get a few. And Court of Owls was one of them that I read and really enjoyed. And so I picked up Batman just at other places, like Barnes and Nobles, where I read year one.
Yeah.
There's a library. I read a lot of one series that I don't even remember, but it was like a whole Bat Family one, including like Lucius Fox's son and stuff with the suit.
Wait,
with
was
like,
it Death like of the Family?
Super bat suit. No.
Is it Long or the Halloween? What's it called?
No.
Long Halloween, but that, no, that wouldn't have the family.
But it had like all the Robins.
Oh,
and stuff.
Is it like Battle for the Cowl or something?
I don't know.
But anyway,
but that the fact and like that I read so Killing many... Joke at Jason's apartment.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, yeah. But yeah, good call.
Amazing.
With Batman.
Yeah.
No, Jay. Yeah, that's true. And Batman like is responsible for like a resurgence almost, like not only in himself. I mean, with Dark Knight Returns, like that was like the resurgence of Batman. Like that's what made him cool again, right?
Cuz that was but, the, that like, was like the late 80s early 90s with Frank Miller, right?
Yeah. But like it also kind of like gave a kickstart to comic books in general, like, like across the board
being
like
legitimate media.
Like this is what like not only a Batman comic can be, but this is what a comic can be.
Totally.
You know? So really cool stuff. Mm-hmm. For my final one, I'm going for just kind of this one's just more personal than anything, like rather than objective. I'm going with it's a Moon Knight comic from 2006. By Huston Benson and Hurwitz. So this one is a personal one because it's just my favorite Moon Knight. And like Moon Knight's my favorite. I own all of the comics and I like most of them, if not all of them. But this one kind of sat in a sweet spot for me because it was, wow, calling it like the Dark Knight Returns of, Moon Knight is like, of Moon Knight is like the worst thing to call this because like I'm probably the biggest fan this run has.
Right.
But I think it's perfect because it honors kind of like the older stuff of Moon Knight and it very much like encapsulates all of that, but also it introduces like a dark, edgy, like very serious tone while still having like the madness and like the fun of the other ones. And so I think that like it is just like the perfect kind of amalgamation of what Moon Knight is and what he should be. The Moon Knight comics from like the past, I don't know, 7 years or so probably have like the most universal praise. People really love those, but these are like a lot more esoteric and like he fights ghosts and goes into other dimensions and whatnot. And so like, if you want like more grounded street level stuff, you should probably go back a little bit further when it comes to reading Moon Knight. And what also is important about this run from 2006 is it was the first time I had read anything with Taskmaster, and Taskmaster easily, like he became one of my favorite villains, like instantly when I read this comic. He was just so cool. He's brutal and just mean, and he was sick. So that's why this one's important because, you know, my favorite superhero introduced one of my favorite villains. So
yeah.
Honestly,
to me anyway,
because I think I borrowed that series and we read it. I read it, whatever, in your basement or something.
Yeah.
But it's just really cool how that series. I mean, and Moon Knight as a whole really tackles like the psychological, like mental, horror aspect of what it is to be Moon Knight.
Yeah.
And how freaky and cool and how many elements that is. Cause a lot of people will compare him to other comic book characters, but it's really not. He's really his own thing and mental illness being at the center of his character, I think makes for some really compelling, freaky storylines.
Yeah. And I think that that's what makes this one so special is like I mentioned in like these newer runs, a lot of that, kind of like mental aspect is like kind of fun or like quirky or like even considered a superpower and stuff like this.
Right.
Whereas this one, it's like, it's messing with him. It's ruining his life.
Yes.
Like he can't tell, like it's really making him, like I don't know. It's making his fight with Taskmaster that much harder, right? Because
he's fighting himself a little bit.
He is absolutely fighting himself. He's seeing like visions of his arch nemesis, Bushman, who's he cut off his face, mm-hmm. right? And so he's seeing like hallucinations of this man who he just butchered,
yeah,
right? Mm-hmm. Just mess with him as he's just getting pummeled by Taskmaster, right. and it's really just ruining everything. Like, it's really cool. It's fun.
That is cool. As Jason and I were becoming closer, one of my early memories was going to FanX pre-podcast, and Jason cosplaying as Moon Knight in a cosplay that he had made, and it became a line of ours because some guy was going around like, I don't know what his bit was.
I don't know what his bit was.
But so he was recording, wasn't he?
And like, yeah, he had a camera. Like, yeah. I'm not talking like a phone.
Yeah,
like
he had a camcorder and asked Jay to squat with him.
Yeah,
and then he was like recording himself, and he was going like squatting with Moon Knight.
Yeah,
and squatting with Moon Knight became
squatting with Moon Knight is a
part of the
lexicon.
He was asking people to squat.
Yeah,
and I don't know why.
No.
It kind of rocks. Yeah. Like, it's really cool.
Yeah.
In retrospect.
Bit. Yeah.
It's funnier in retrospect than it was back then.
Yeah. We were all like, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now we respect and honor that man.
Yeah. Unless he's like Slavic or something, like Gopnik kind of squatting. That's their bit.
Yeah.
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 The Romanians and the.
Yeah. Like they squat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In their like tracksuits and whatever.
Yeah. I don't think he was.
Those Moldovans. No, he wasn't. He wasn't Albanian.
Yeah.
He was cosplaying as one of those guys.
Right.
As Gogo Bordello or whatever.
Huh?
Do you guys know who that is?
No. Wish I did.
Is that their actual name?
Yeah. Start wearing purple. Slavic guy who wear tracksuits and is squatting. He's very symbolic of that whole thing that you're.
Wow. Huh.
Yeah.
Well, I'm squatting with Moon Knight. All
right.
Yeah. But I mean, like, I feel like there's a lot of, like, things that you can mention, like, that are important. Like, I don't know. Like, anything by Alan Moore deserves all of the credit that it's ever gotten. Sorry.
Yeah.
You know. So,
Frank Miller. I mean, we touched on
Frank
a little
Miller.
Bit. Frank Miller is one of the definitely fathers of awesome comic story lines.
Yeah.
Brian Michael Bendis gets a lot of credit for turning a lot of heroes around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brian Michael Bendis created
Miles Morales. But also, like, he gets a lot of crap for butchering other characters, but we won't go into that.
He did some X-Men stuff that was good.
Yeah.
A lot of people praise his Daredevil.
I like his Moon Knight, honestly. A lot of people don't, but I like it. It's because he fought, like, a Thor-level hero, and everyone's like, Moon Knight shouldn't be able to take on a Thor-level villain, I mean.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked it.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there something you guys like want to get into, or a comic that you've been eyeing, or something that you're interested in?
Wait,
like,
did you say your last one?
Yeah.
What did you say?
Avatar.
Oh, Avatar. You started us off. That's right. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
I like, as I was doing some research for this, and just kind of in the back of my mind, like, I've really been interested in some of these Daredevil comics, like. Oh. The Bendis run, but also I'm hearing a lot of praise for more recent ones, and including like a 2023 one that people loved.
Really?
So I'm really curious about getting into Daredevil a bit, because I think he's a really cool, compelling character. I love when they like lean into how Catholic he is. And like, that's just a fun angle. So I'm just curious if you guys have anything that you're like, oh, I want to see that next, or...
I don't know. I've always kind of wanted to, like, get into the Constantine Hellblazer stuff. Mm-hmm. I just never have, and... Yeah. But I'd like to one day.
Yeah.
Because I like them.
Okay, so I feel like a big blind spot for me is... And maybe we... I don't know if we want to separate this, but, like, there's a lot of manga that I really want to get into, and that feels like a whole other thing that we could do a whole other episode on. And maybe it's wrong to bring it into this discussion. But like Vinland Saga or Berserk, you know, or even like the original Akira, like those are things that I obviously like love the adaptations of those. But I really feel like it deserves getting into the original source material. I mean, I know you kind of went deep into like My Hero Academia.
Oh, yeah.
And I kind of have a little honorable mention thing I maybe want to plug in here a little bit. Yeah. But like I went into Uzumaki, which is like a horror one by
Junji Ito.
He's amazing.
Junji Ito's so good.
He deserves tons of praise. And I read that last year.
We could do an episode on him.
Yeah.
We totally could. Yeah. He's so cool.
Yeah.
And I love the comparison that they always make about him and Miyazaki. About how Junji Ito's like this most happy, gregarious guy coming up with the most abysmal, bleak, horrific things.
Yeah.
And Miyazaki's just this whinging, miserable old man.
Tortured.
Comes up with the most fanciful, beautiful, happy, delightful things.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say getting into manga, just even like these big iconic pieces, is a huge next step for me.
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned that I got into My Hero, which is funny because it was like, that was another Barnes & Noble thing where I haven't really read any manga consistently, or I've picked up bits here and there or anything like that, but I just watch the anime and I'm like an anime only fan pretty much of most of these things. But then like on accident, because I'm not sure when things come out or what's done or what's written or things like that but then at Barnes & Noble I like saw one that I was like, they haven't covered that in the show yet, and then I realized like, oh, like
I'm the show
is catching up to what this is. And so I did. I was like, oh, I can spoil the story for myself now.
For the next.
And I like, totally did.
Three seasons.
Yeah. And so I did kind of dig in to the point where I was like, not even reading the manga, but just going to like their wiki page for the story. Yeah. I read what I could and then kind of just kept doing that. And like even went to, who's their publisher? It's
MAPPA or
it's MAPPA or Shonen.
Shonen Jump.
Yeah. And like on there, they for free have like the two or three most recent
volumes
releases. And so I was even keeping up with the most current stuff, and then I fell behind. And then today I realized that it's done and that I can just finish the story.
Nice.
So I'm going to go revisit it online. That.
Nice.
Yeah.
Can I throw in just two honorable mentions? Very fast.
I feel like you already threw in some honorable mentions.
I did. I'm sorry. But I feel like they deserve mentioning.
Okay.
Because we didn't hit on too much Marvel besides Moon Knight, did we? Did you mention? I guess Luke Cage as well.
Yeah.
But.
And we gave Daredevil a shout out.
All right. Well.
And we talked about X-Men and Spider-Man.
Okay. Let's move on. No, I just think the Civil War comic is my favorite Marvel comic. Because it took all of these characters and again, it like brought it into the real world. Cause I feel like you read comics and it's very much its own thing. But when you read Civil War, you're like, whoa, there's a real world consequences, you know, real people suffering, real people dying and superheroes doing things that real people would do. They're not these, you know, 1,000-foot-tall versions of themselves. They're doing real things and having real consequences. And I think that's an amazing thing. I'll leave it there.
Cool.
Yeah.
Jay, any honorable mentions? Any parting thoughts?
I don't know. There's a lot I could mention, I suppose, but no. I'm just going to leave it right there.
What do you think what would you recommend? If no one's read comics, where's the best place to start that you would say, read this. Go for this. Is that more taste based?
It might depend on what they want out of it.
I mean, you mentioned we like largely went over kind of mainstream stuff.
Yeah,
but like, there's a ton of comics and graphic novels that have nothing to do with even like fantasy. Like anything supernatural. Yeah. Like a lot of them are just kind of human stories,
romance, coming of age,
Archie comics. We did actually go over that. So we covered
that. We've run
the gamut. So
I mean, yeah, there's like it just depends on what you want. Like, do you want something fun and fanciful? Do you want something serious? Do you want something like based in reality, like a mouse, or you know, do you want Habibi, or I don't know.
Right.
There's like a million different directions you can go.
That's true.
Yeah. But I mean, for a sampler, you mentioned Year One as a good place to start for Batman. I think that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you like Avatar, start with the Avatar comics.
Yeah.
Just things like it is just like so stuff that's specific.
Easy to jump into.
Yeah. If you like something, see if there's a comic about it.
Right.
Like there's a comic kind of graphic novelization of Neil Gaiman's Norse mythology.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
And really adds a lot of richness to an already really cool book and obviously like cool myths.
They've done graphic novel versions of like a lot of his stuff.
Tons
of stuff. Really fun.
Yeah. Yeah. He's written a lot of comics as comics and then they've
I think Graveyard Book is.
It is a comic.
Novel. American Gods also is.
Yeah.
That's and what's true. Funny, reading American Gods, it reads like a comic.
Yeah.
Like I read it and cool. I was like, oh, it's kind of interesting how we're jumping here, how we have this position this way, or that the narrative goes here. And then someone afterward, I read someone talking about how it reads like a comic and like I was kind of able to go back in my mind and be like, oh, yeah, like yeah. this actually that makes a lot it better. More, yeah, it totally made it better yeah, for me. Funny. Yeah, which is really funny. But yeah, there's like a graphic novel of The Hobbit.
Yeah.
It's got like 95% of the text.
Wow.
There's one for Dune.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wild.
That's awesome. I think that's you guys bring up a good point that it's very subjective. There's a lot of places to go. I think the thing that I would recommend is that if you're like intimidated by some of these really big long series, there will always, I promise, be like a little, you know, quick, you know, sort of standalone version of a thing you're probably interested in, whether it's Batman or whether it's like something that's not superhero related or whether it's like an Image comic that isn't part of Marvel or DC. There's always a little something that doesn't feel daunting if you're like, oh, I want to dip my toe in the water.
And even some of these big series, you can just like are pretty standalone. Like you could read just the first volume of Sandman and be good.
Totally.
Like, honestly.
Totally.
Like a lot of people may maybe get mad at me for saying that, but like it is standalone, you know?
Just to get a taste of that series in that world. But so that's kind of the thought.
Yeah. I mean, there's also like, I don't know. I'm thinking like sports mangas too.
Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Haikyuu. Yeah.
IQ and there's a basketball
one that's really, really popular.
Yeah.
There's a lot.
Yeah.
There's a swimming one that's really popular.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Big time.
Well, I think we've said all there is to say. That's not even close to true.
well, let's put a bow on this.
We've said all we have to say currently about the comics we mentioned. And I'll leave that at that.
We'll take
because
this.
That's all that's been related to comics.
Yeah,
for us,
that's true.
I'd like to divert a little bit.
Sure,
I'd like to get a little off course. I'd like to travel the offbeat path, take it down for a little unrelated. It's gonna be unrelated. That's probably our best,
most unified,
most synced.
I don't know. We've had some good ones.
No.
Jason craves
really
the polka.
Really harkening back to the polka.
Jason, the children crave the polka.
They do. They yearn for the polka.
Yeah. Okay. So you are.
Yes.
Assembling a kickball team.
Oh, great.
Right? Your captains.
Anime kickball.
Why kickball?
Because kickball rips,
well, kickball,
Jason.
Kickball,
you idiot.
Is like who you're. It's the playground picks.
I'm anti-kickball. Just kidding. Yeah.
And so you have picks.
Yeah.
And your picks are Yugi.
Oh, no. From Yu-Gi-Oh?
From Yu-Gi-Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ash Ketchum.
Yeah.
Jimmy Neutron.
Oh, boy.
Dexter.
Oh.
And we'll leave it at that. So
that's
so
you say that again. Yugi,
Ash, Jimmy Neutron, and Dexter.
Okay, so you kind of got a split down the middle here. You kind of got these anime.
Well, the question is also, do they have prep time
for kickball?
I feel like if they know they're being invited to a kickball game, then there's got to be an element of kick time.
They know recess is coming up.
Yep.
And they know
a kickball game is imminent.
Uh-huh.
Okay, wait. So I get to pick one, or I get to pick two?
So you're, we're just, I want to hear, like,
here's the thing.
The order you're picking in.
I've never seen Yu-Gi-Oh, okay. But I get the sense that Yugi is a bit more athletic than the other
one. No. Oh my gosh. Is he not? He's a loser. He's what? A weakling. Yugi? Well,
he's not, like.
Guys.
Because here's the thing.
Can he become the Pharaoh?
You want him to? Okay, well, that's a different story. Because if he puts on the necklace and he becomes the Pharaoh, then he's a full man.
He's an adult.
He's an adult man with incredible confidence and strategic brilliance.
Basically, I think of him on similar levels to Ash.
No, he's a wuss.
They're kids with
He's a wuss.
Heart.
He has heart.
I can see.
No, but Ash is more physical, and Yugi's like, don't touch my grandpa. He's a wuss. He's a wuss. Even though he's got the heart of a warrior, he has the body of a weak child. And Ash at least is hardy. He can take shots from.
We know that Ash can throw a ball.
And we know he takes a beating.
We know he can throw a ball, and that's important for the game.
Ash is athletic, for sure. That's a great call, AJ.
So we could say Ash is probably a good pick. The problem with Dexter and Jimmy Neutron is I'm pretty sure we've seen Dexter build like a robotic arm to throw a ball really hard.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we've seen
that's
that.
That's the problem. Yeah, they've got
hacks.
Well, they do, but they're going to overthink it and they're going to ruin it.
Because
that's kind of their MO is they're going to overdo it.
Right.
And it will ruin the fun for everyone. The ball will pop. They'll send it into the stratosphere and it'll be like, good one, Jimmy. Good one, Dexter.
Right.
And ruin the game.
Right.
So that's a hard, as much as it's like, whoa, you know, performance enhancement stuff.
Right.
I think you missed the point of the thing.
Do you think you could rein it in as captain? Do you think you could tell him to dial it back?
You could rein it in on Jimmy, but not Dexter.
That's what I was just about to say, because Jimmy craves acceptance. There's a part of him that wants to be cool and liked. And Dexter's
can be reasoned with a little bit more.
He can.
Yeah.
Dexter's
more social.
Jimmy's just a show off
sometimes,
but is pretty earnest in his...
And
Dexter
will absolutely
puncture a hole in the moon with a dodgeball.
Well, and Dexter, Dexter is very much like, this is very beneath me. Dexter's
going all out. He's an all or nothing kind of guy.
Yeah. But here's the thing. He, you know, there's an element of him that is a little showboaty. You know, he also likes to show off for
Mandark,
the women.
Is Mandark on the other team?
If Mandark's in the
team. Mandark's on the team, then you're, you know.
Right.
You're going to Nationals because he's... Right. He's got that ego though. Whereas Jimmy can sometimes kind of see the bigger picture. Mm-hmm. Dexter's too prolific to get out of his own way.
Well, Jimmy can be selfless.
He can.
Like look at his friends. Like he has friends, first of all.
Yeah.
And his friends are losers.
Yeah.
And like he just loves them for who they are.
Yeah. And he understands that
Dexter doesn't really have friends.
No, he doesn't. He's a lone wolf and he's kind of annoyed with everyone.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about Jimmy is that there are times in the series that at the end of the day, he's like, yeah, let's just play.
Mm-hmm.
Like I understand that the importance of just being a kid a lot of the time. Yeah. And I don't think Dexter craves that.
No, but so, there's something to be said for obsession too.
Yeah.
Sure. Sure, like, he's not antisocial. He just is unbothered.
Yeah.
So I would say Ash is my number one pick. For sure. He's going to be reliable and grounded.
If we're having a good time, we're on the playground, it's a spontaneous, like, who am I picking? It's Ash.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Ash is a team player for sure.
Yeah.
He gets it.
Yeah.
You don't have to rein him in. He's like, I'm your guy. I'm here.
Yeah.
What do you need me to do?
See, I think there could be occasions, though, where Ash goes in like full confidence, like, I'm going to do it.
And then bones it.
And then bones it. Like Charlie Brown,
Charlie Brown
stumbles and totally misses. And Misty's there with a snide comment.
Right. But I would rather take that. I'd rather take that, the heart with the natural athleticism, even if it's...
See, you know what? I think Ash is more inconsistent. I think Yugi's getting on base consistently.
Oh, I don't
even think if so. it's just a single base hit.
No,
I think Yugi's gonna do that.
I don't think so. I think Yugi is too insecure as Yugi. I mean, like the fact that he can't play the game that he was born to play without his alter ego.
See, now that's not true.
I think the reliance is on this higher version of himself. Mm-hmm. And look, here's the thing. He's got the most heart out of the whole crew.
His heart of the cards moments exist independent of the Pharaoh. Sure, but that's only after the Pharaoh is like, you can't use the Pharaoh. And he's like, I have to rely on myself. And he's like pushed to his limits. So maybe in those moments he can. I just think that physically he's so lacking that even for what he might make up for with his Heart of the Cards moments and his passion to win and to be your reliable guy, I just don't think he can get it done.
Are you picking him? Compared to Jimmy and
Jackson. Okay. So here's my list. I would go Ash. I'd go Jimmy, because he can rein it in eventually. We're gonna struggle.
Still not athletic.
Not athletic, but he eventually understands the bigger picture of what we're doing. And then Yugi, because I like his heart and Dexter's, he's a good team player. Dexter's going dead last.
Can I have cool Jimmy Neutron? You know, with the sunglasses.
Absolutely not.
Guess it's too much for the Neutron style.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you can't.
No. All right, well, of course not.
You can have Clown Jimmy.
No.
You can have Hulk Jimmy.
See, I feel like Dexter is overcompensating and like knows that he has no, like, he's the size of the kickball. So you're picking Dexter last. I think that's a mistake.
Mm. I'm trying to have fun and I feel like he's a deterrent.
Is he trying to win?
But I think I can do both. I think.
He would create something that throws the ball so hard it would be literally impossible to kick it.
Yeah, but winning by default of the ball being gone forever isn't winning.
That's, or of a kid getting hospitalized
exactly.
by a pitch.
I'm like, that's not.
Yeah.
Sorry, but I'm benching you until I absolutely have to play you.
I mean, a swift defeat is effective and efficient.
But that's like a defeat by default of, okay, well, this kid has a broken arm and the ball's gone. So thanks, Dex.
If it's about winning, you win.
You win because LeBron breaks his arm and they can't continue. I don't know.
Mickey Mouse championship.
Right.
Right, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah, Dexter crippling the other team is, that's your Mickey ring.
Yeah, we don't have enough people. Yeah, exactly.
Jay, where are you? You similar?
I gotta go with Ash first and foremost.
Yep. And then who's coming next?
You know, there's a lot to be said about a guy who just will do whatever it takes to win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it might be Dexter.
Yeah. Wow. Absolutely. Wow. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
And then
I don't know anything about Yugi, apparently, so I can't rightfully pick him, so it'd have to be Jimmy. Because I
Jimmy, that's the only and Yugi guy last.
I know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Elijah.
Yeah, I think Dexter's going one or two. Whoa. It's Ash. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. I think Jimmy is more likely to have like a weird side effect.
Yes.
Like he wants to make the ball lighter so he can kick it and it'll go far and suddenly like his teammates are floating. Exactly. Yeah. Dexter is just, it's overkill. So
it's just pure efficiency though.
Yeah, yeah. His robot leg is gonna send it,
decimate it
to the next state, but he's gonna do it.
Yeah.
And Jimmy's a liability.
He is.
Yeah.
But again,
I get what you're saying.
Yeah. Okay.
But Jimmy's a liability.
Like, and Dexter's just pure results, baby.
Yeah. He is.
He is. But I don't want to play kickball with him. He's not, it's not fun.
I get that.
Dexter's triple double, no assists.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
So,
who's going last?
There you have it. Probably Yugi.
Yugi's last.
Yeah. Just, okay. I mean, I think I would do Dexter first, actually.
Wow. Yeah. Dexter and then Ash.
Yeah.
Jimmy, Yugi.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If we get the Pharaoh.
If you get the Pharaoh, maybe that's first, because a full adult man just.
Right. With magic powers.
Yeah. Being like, I will send this ball.
We don't know the extent of the powers, though.
Right.
It's hard to.
I don't think he has any physical powers.
They weren't very clear.
No.
With all that. Ancient Egyptian stuff.
He shows up. What else can he do?
I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, good. Dexter, Ash, Jimmy.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. Oh. Cool.
Well,
thanks for listening. This has been
Every Fan for Himself.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for sticking with us.
Mm-hmm.
If you're listening on Spotify, go ahead and interact with some polls, some questions.
Leave us a review.
We'd like to hear from you. Honestly, I shouldn't say that, but I would kind of have them interact with a poll or
a question, then leave a review.
Maybe. That's
it's not fair. A good investment like, in the future, but I do
I'm
want
too
like,
afraid
I
of what you'll say.
I don't want to know what you think about
No, that's thing. I'm too delicate for that. But yeah. Hey, if you have any thoughts on an unrelated, or even on an episode idea.
Even a related
yeah. something.
Go that's what we call episodes from now on.
related.
So this related. In this related, we're going to be talking
yeah.
about
Please go follow us on Instagram, Every Fan for Himself, and shoot us a DM.
Yeah.
And
shoot us an email.
Or shoot us an email.
At Gmail.
Yep.
That's right.
We do respond. And if you're serious about it, we'll be serious about it. We'll yeah. throw it in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Eli from Washington, hope you're still out there.
Every time.
We love you.
Until someone.
What state should we bad talk? Like.
Arizona's permanent.
We've dunked on Arizona.
Yeah, but
there are a second like, listenership.
Do you want
yeah.
me to
so
learn everything
we,
I
no,
can
you
about
know,
Indiana so that I can just
I'm so ready to dunk on Nevada too.
Okay.
Oh, Nevada sucks.
Oh, it's awful.
Just empty.
It's empty, and then the barren. Parts that aren't empty are the epitome of what's wrong with the United States.
Yeah. Well, Las Vegas is like I remember it kind of being hyped up. As a kid, like people would say, like, we're going to Vegas or this, yeah. you know, you'd hear about like sports teams going for tournaments and stuff.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I went for the first time in high school and I was like, what is the fuss about?
Oh, it sucks.
It's
like a consumer.
Shopping and,
yeah.
and
yes.
mediocre food, unless you're paying out the nose.
Yeah. It's a consumer.
Gross.
Like absolute.
Vibes everywhere. Horrible and it's
vibes.
In the middle of a horrible
Yeah, desert.
Desert.
Oh, yeah.
It's
There's
a nightmare.
Nothing for miles.
There's yeah. nothing valuable there that yeah. isn't synthetic or terrible or
yeah.
whatever.
Yeah.
Reno's
nothing.
Reno is somehow the worst version of the worst thing.
Yeah.
Shouts out Carson City.
I was just going to say Carson City is whatever.
Hey, you know, Elko is cool.
Is it?
Well, those cowboys
as soon as
out
they,
there
as
holding
as
it
That's
down.
What Carson City is. It's like cowboy
yeah,
town.
Yeah. As, it? Soon, as, they, yeah. as yeah. soon as it starts touching Tahoe.
Sure.
That's
on the other side.
Yeah. Far... Far west,
far
Nevada,
far west or far east. You got the cowboys. You got the lake. I'm in it.
Sure.
The southern portions.
Yeah.
Really.
Reno's
just,
northern.
Is it?
I'm pretty sure.
I think it's
because it's on the way to Tahoe. I think.
Is it?
I don't know. And I don't care enough to know Nevada.
Yeah. Whoa. Let's not go down the hole. We love you. Thank you for listening. I will be your.
We like you.
Friend.
Thank you.
For yeah.
Listening.
Let's make that clear.
I want to take it slow. Jaren is so ready to
no,
just
I'm
say
I'm so ready
love
to jump right
that
in bed
so
with you.
Classic Jaren. Just ready to overcommit and then withdraw affection and leaving you. See, there's a pattern some
I
listeners
do.
Are going to recognize.
The answer is, I do.